patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
We are so excited to have returning to the show pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays organization, Hagen Danner, Haggy D. Welcome back to the walk-off, buddy. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, man. It's always fun on here.
Yeah, we're excited to catch up with you again. And to start with, congrats on getting healthy, man. I know that last season, was a bit of an ups and down one, but good to see you back on the field and ready to roll.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's lightly spoken of. You know, it was the whole year I was sitting in the rehab room. So
yeah,
that was not too fun.
Was that the longest, most substantial kind of rehab of your career so far?
Oh yeah. The longest one before that was maybe 3 weeks to a month.
Jeez, so, buddy.
Yeah.
can you give us a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, what it's like during a lengthy rehab? Like, were you in Florida at the complex the whole time? Did you have a regimen and timetable right out of the gate, or was it a lot of wait and see? How did that play out?
Yeah. So, I mean, I got my second opinion in Dallas. So I went straight to Dallas, Texas to go meet with Meister, and when he told me I wasn't getting surgery, that was the best news. I was like, okay, sweet, no surgery. And then he told me no throw for 6 weeks, and I was like, all right, well, usually whatever you don't throw for, you double that for your throwing program. So I started doing the math, and I was like, okay, that probably adds up to like 4 months. I was like sweet, that's gonna suck. But then I get there, and I mean, things are going smoothly at first. And then I got on the mound, threw a couple bullpens, and my arm flared up again. And that I took more time off. And so I ended up being about like 6.5 months, probably.
Mentally, that had to have been a tough one, eh? When you got back on the mound and realized, shit, this is not done yet.
Right. Yeah. No, and the sad thing was for me is like it felt so good. And then it was randomly like one bullpen where it flared up again. And I was like, no way, man. That's definitely not what I wanted. But
this was your shoulder, right?
Elbow.
Elbow. Okay.
Elbow. Yep.
Yeah. Avoiding surgery, though. In the end, this is good news, right?
Yeah. 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 In the end, it's good news. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but I'm just going to, the way I thought about it is that I'm just going to keep giving it my all every day. And I mean, I can only control the controllables. So
what's the rehab like? Like, are you with other guys? Were there other dudes there while you're going through it?
Yeah. Yeah. We had quite a bunch. We had probably like 15 guys hanging out there. It's very repetitive. That's what I learned. I mean, you go in at like 8 a.m. every day, and you leave around 12 or 1 o'clock. It's like the most repetitive days, and you really don't have anything to do. So it was, and then you're in midsummer in Florida, so you're just dying of heat.
Yeah,
so you really just sit inside. There's a couple times where I felt myself maybe getting a little depressed there and staying in my apartment at all times, and just had to find. I had one of my buddies in town, so he stayed with me for the whole rehab, which was awesome.
Buddy, it's so funny. We were talking to Chris Beck on Monday, and you wound up coming up. And I don't even know how it wound up coming up, but the weather in Florida came up, and he was talking about you. And he's like, oh, yeah, you give Haggy D a second. He can't wait to throw in your face that California's weather is way better.
All the time. All the time.
Did you, you did get healthy in time to compete in the Arizona Fall League, which is – you know, something, I guess, if there's a light at the end of the tunnel, at least it was that. Outside of your first game too, you were absolutely dominant. You didn't allow a run the entire time.
Yeah.
Despite that though, did you feel rusty? Like, was there rust?
Yeah. So, I mean, I tried, there was at the first outing or two, I did feel a little bit of rust, more so just like the jitters of like having the hitter in there and the just making sure I don't overthrow, because I always, you know, I want to blow up the hitter, you know, I want to throw it as hard as I can. But I mean, to me, I got my mind was ready, because we did take a little extra time, because once I realized I was going to be out for so long, I kind of put in my head like, hey, if I don't go back to season, I think I'm going to do the Arizona Fall League. Like I was thinking I would be a perfect candidate for it. So I was kind of in my head, I was just going to be an Arizona Fall League guy. So got my mind right for that. When I got there, it was first outing was a little rough, but I mean, after that I settled in.
How are you used in Arizona? Was it all about just getting some innings in you, or were there leverage situations they were trying to get you into? How did that all play out?
Yeah. So to start, it was kind of just giving me a clean inning because it was my first innings after rehab. But after that, I was on a schedule. I would throw and then I'd have 2 days off. And then I'd throw again. And it was only one inning. I'd go maximum one inning. But towards the end, I was coming in seventh, eighth, or ninth inning, which was awesome.
I'm really curious at a scenario where you were in, where you missed that whole season and then you come back in the Arizona Fall League. Did you just shut down again after that? Like, cause I know you're in like a yearly routine, right? So right. Were you throwing in the off season?
Yeah. So I took about only a week off and then I started playing catch again. And I mean, I feel great. So that was, I'm glad I didn't take too much time off. If I would have taken too much time off, I think I would have kind of set myself back a little bit. But yeah, I've kind of stayed on top of it. And I mean, I'm ready to go. I'll probably start throwing live ABs next week. So that'll be exciting.
What are your goals for spring training? I know you just mentioned that in the Arizona Fall League, it was one clean inning. That's it. Moving forward, I'm guessing higher leverage situations is what you're after, and maybe the ability to go four outs if you can, or what are your goals?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, man, my goals are whatever the Blue Jays want me to do. I don't
love that.
I don't really have, I don't really have a specific thing. My goal is to try to, if not crack the roster out of spring training, it's to show them that I can do it. And I'm healthy. You know, it's not just to go in there and, you know, have fun. I'm going there because I mean business this year. You know, I'm not going there just to show face. So
I love that. I love that. Not just going there to have fun. Although, let's be serious, you are a seasoned vet within this organization. Some people don't even know, right? Like, you were drafted in 2017 as a catcher.
Yeah.
And I know we talked about this last time you were on the show about your transition into pitching. But if you go up and down this organization, dude, you know almost everybody. Like, literally almost everyone we bring on this show, if your name comes up, they've got some sort of story to tell about you. Are you excited about spring training? It's got to feel almost like a class reunion.
Honestly, every year, it's always like that week heading into spring training, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to miss home a little bit. But then like a couple days before, I'm like, you know what, man? Spring training is the best time of the year. I get to see everyone I've been waiting to see all year. And people I didn't play in the past year with in minor league. So like, I mean, you get to see all those guys. It's fun. I see you guys have Jano on today. So
yeah,
that's awesome. He's someone that helped me a lot through the catching.
He couldn't make it as a pitcher though. He had to stick to catching.
I think he's all right at it.
Yeah, he gets by.
I think he's just fine.
Is it kind of, I mean, obviously you can't look too far ahead, right? But
yeah,
you've come a long way. There's got to be a little bit of validation and just even hearing from the scouts and from the pundits that you look ready to make that next jump.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's nothing to say. I try not to look at like what other people say, but I mean, I personally, I do feel ready. I feel ready. I have come a long way mentally, physically, and just trying to like have the game be a positive aspect of my life. And that's how it's starting to become. And it's, I mean, like I said, try not to just go out there for fun, but like me going out there competing, that is so much fun. So it's, I mean, you'll see me smile in spring training probably a ton. And it's, I mean, it's the best time.
Oh, you're back out there on the field. Why wouldn't you?
Best.
Right.
It's the best.
It's funny how stuff like that puts it in perspective, eh? Because when you're in the grind and you're just, your head's down and you're focused, it's easy to forget about stuff like health matters.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
So I'm not going to lie, buddy. This Bison's bullpen to start this year, and I mean, knock on wood, fingers crossed, we're hoping that you know, you make the jump right out of spring. But just in case you don't, right, this Bison's bullpen is going to be pretty dang deadly to start this season. And it's funny because last year there was all this talk from the analysts, the pundits, right? The Blue Jays lack velocity in the minor leagues. But frick, you look at that bullpen's, the Bison's bullpen now, and you know, like you've got that Junior and Julian Fernandez and Zulueta and Big Nate's there, and you all five of you hit triple digits. Like there is velo there. So I'm curious, when you're around another flamethrower, is it like seeing someone on the road that you're driving the same car of? Like, are you like, hey, there you go. Like we've got a brotherhood here.
That's kind of a funny way to explain it. No, it's more so like, it's always, you play games with each other, you know, it's like, usually you find one of those guys to be your catch partner. So you guys, I mean, and your catch partner is going to be your boy for the whole season. You know, you're not going to stop talking to him. He's going to be one of your best friends. And, you know, and like guys like that, I mean, I hope Nate cracks the club out of spring training. Yeah. He looked so good, and that kid worked his butt off in rehab. So, I mean, I hope he gets back up there, and he's a great guy to be around. I would say, yeah, I mean, there's, what do we got? Yeah, five guys about to throw. I mean, Hayden Yanger is in there too.
That kid, right, yeah.
That kid throws upper 90s too, and he's a young boy too. He rose up there. He's a good kid too. About six guys throwing upper 90s, you know, and you really can only do your best. And hopefully they see something out of you that they like. And if they want to bring someone else up, that's who they're going to bring up. You can't really just sit there and fight it. So
no, you can't, you can't make those decisions for sure. It's interesting. I know in stand-up comedy, I know both Adam and I've told you before, we're comedians. And one of the things that always blows my mind is when a comic is doing something that I couldn't do, you know, whatever joke they're doing, whatever it is, like one-liners are not my style. And man, when I watch a guy go up there with 200 one-liners and put in a 20-minute set, and I'm just like, wow. Is it the same with pitching? Like, are there guys that are just doing things you can't do that you're like, holy crap? And if so, do you got some names?
Well, there's one. Yeah. Adrian Hernandez.
Okay, yeah,
that kid is a clown. I absolutely love him, and he's the best. He doesn't speak too much English, but he works on it every day. He's always trying, and I have never seen a changeup in my entire life like that kid throws one. It moves like a left-handed curveball.
Really?
It moves down like this, and it's crazy, and he laughed one time. He gave up a home run after throwing his fastball, and he laughed at me when he came in. And usually, like someone gives up a home run, you're not just like gonna laugh. He laughed at me and says, "Bobby, that's why I don't throw fastball." I've seen him way too many times. 3-0, he'll throw a changeup, strike a guy out on 3-0, go get to 3-2, changeup, strike him out. I mean, that's a guy that I wish somehow I could do it, throw a changeup like that, but I just don't think it's possible because he has the best changeup, I think, in the minor leagues, if not the big leagues, the whole baseball.
That is so interesting. I wonder how much extra value is added with having a bunch of guys in the pen with him that are fireballers. And then all of a sudden you got this guy who's just giving you such a different look.
Right. Right. And Isert too. Brandon Isert.
Yep.
That kid can pitch as well. He spots up. He throws the hardest 91, 92 I have ever seen in my life. He gets whiffs out of that all the time, and it's awesome to watch. But coming in after guys like that makes your inning feel a little bit easier.
It's so interesting how there's just dudes who, for whatever it is, the spin or the angle of their arm or whatever it is, like you said, 91, 92, but it just feels like it's on you. Like, unreal.
It's definitely the spin on, he throws the fastball with like some vertical break on it.
It just looks like it's rising on you. Eh?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a balloon. It rises up on you.
Where are you at with your pitches? Actually, Adam, go ahead and jump in here. I know you have something to say.
I was just going to say a stupid anecdote from my childhood. I used to play on the NES Nintendo RBI baseball. And I would always play with the Astros, and I'd have Nolan Ryan as a relief pitcher, because I would just, I would go with anybody else as my starting pitcher and just drain them. So they were throwing the slowest stuff by the fifth and sixth inning. And then Nolan Ryan comes in throwing 101, and it's like three times too fast and no one could catch up. So he was a great closer for me coming in with
in real life too.
Yeah. Yeah, in real life. Yeah.
He did all right.
Peggy, are there guys in the organization that you're spending time with in the off season? Or are there buds that you're going out of your way to spend time with in non-baseball scenarios outside of golf, obviously?
Yeah. Yeah. let's see, in our org, there's no one. I'm living in Huntington Beach right now, and there is nobody out here in California really. Last year, Trevor Schwecke flew out from Wisconsin because he was tired of the cold and wanted to get some golf in. And he flew all the way out to California and stayed with me, and we hung out for a while. But no, I mean, I'm always calling people. You know, I always miss the boys. So
yeah.
It's a lot of love. There's Phil Clark, love that kid. Fitz Stadler, he's been grinding in rehab right now. When he comes back, he also throws 100 too. So I mean, there's another guy. Yep.
Yeah. Fitz is great. I know he came on the show and just what's the best way of describing, like, how humble and approachable he is for a 6'9" dude is so cool. Like, he's
He is elf.
He is elf.
Yeah,
Fitz. Okay, have you been to the city of Toronto, or you're holding off?
I've never been. I'd love to go though.
Well, is it soon enough? I'm sure.
Is it like, once you were drafted into the Jays organization, was there any temptation to be like, yeah, let's go get familiar with the city? Or was it more of a, you know, I don't know how much you follow hockey, but like, there's the superstition about not touching the Stanley Cup until you've earned it.
Yeah.
Is there something there with Toronto where you're like, no, I'll get called to Toronto one day. I'll earn that flight to Toronto.
The guy, so the man who drafted me, Joe Aversa, he's our area scout here in California. And I was always seeing guys sign at their big league stadium. And they're always the top round guys that were signing. And when they did invite me to go to Toronto, I was a little upset. I was like, man, what's the reasoning for this? And I texted him and I was like, hey man, I see that Nate Pearson and Logan Warmuth are going, why am I not invited? You know? And he said something about them being college guys and they like to do that with the top college guys, not the high schoolers. And I was like, kind of upset. And he said something to me. He said, hey man, you don't want to ruin the beautiful city before you get there in the big leagues. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll stick to that. So that's kind of what I've gone by.
Awesome.
I love that. Okay. So I want to talk pitching a second here with you, because you're going to be called on in the bullpen to come out and get strikeouts. And I'm really curious if your mentality changes. So let's say one out, guy on third, and you're coming in for the K. Do you approach that differently than, let's say, you're just trying to get an out?
No, I attack his ass.
Attack him. Either way, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing changes. I throw my, I mean, whoever's catching me, whether it's Kirk, Jano, I mean, even we just got a, who's the big trade we got?
Varsho.
Yeah, there you go.
He'll get back there too. He's a good bat, man. That's going to be a good bat.
Yeah, isn't he?
You really kind of just trust the catcher in those situations. You throw to your strengths. The catcher knows your strengths, and you kind of just try to overpower him. You throw your nasty shit at him. So
this is going to be an interesting year, because I know that they just announced that in AAA, it is going to be robo umps every game all year long. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that. And I'm also curious if this will affect guys like yourself who might wind up, you know, starting in AAA and then getting called up to the bigs, and then you've got options. You might go back down and come back up. Like, with dealing with two different strike zones, is that tough?
I did it in the fall league. We had it in the fall league. Okay. I actually liked it. I enjoyed it. It puts a little aspect, or it shows the fan, it puts the fans in the game a little bit. It gets them in there. They show when the hitter does one of these, or pitcher, catcher gives the umpire one of those. The whole stadium looks at the scoreboard because it shows it in slow-mo, the ball coming over, and see if it crosses the line of the strike zone. And I mean, with the fans there, it was awesome. Everyone was laughing. It was a good time. But I mean, there are some times where you hate it because you think you made the best pitch of your life and somehow it's just not in the zone, you know?
Were there any calls specifically you remember that were just like way off? Like he called it a strike and it was like, or he called it a ball and it was like dead.
There was the catcher got crossed up. The guy threw a curveball instead of a fastball. Catcher caught it horribly. And the umpire called it a ball. And the catcher, like, stood there for a second and just, like, looked back and gave him one of these. The ball was right down the middle. Right in the middle swing.
That's got to be good for the crowd.
It was hilarious. That, yeah, right? Everyone, umpire even laughed at it. Like,
oh, yeah.
Then so there's one that there's a ball about, I would say, four balls above the strike zone, and umpire called it a strike, challenged ball, and it was like, dude, are you kidding me? That someone even the umpire thought in his head, hey, that's a strike. I mean, umpire, it's a hard thing to do. Umpire, that's not easy, but man, that was pretty bad.
With going to the show, so let's say you're in AAA, you're pitching to robot umps. You've got that strike zone down, you come up, and now it's ump to ump. But I guess you've got the experience to do that anyways, so it's probably not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I mean,
probably a little adjustment.
A little bit. I mean, even that big league strike zone is going to be a little shoebox anyway. So, I mean, you got to – it'll honestly help you. I think it will help guys because the automated strike zone is – I mean, it's small. It's a small box, smaller than you used to. And I mean, it's the big league strike zone. You get to the big leagues, that's going to be the strike zone. So, and those umpires don't miss much, man. They're usually missing by little tiny inches.
Yeah. Taking a hard left turn here. Who's got the best fashion style in the organization? Name some of the best dressed teammates you have.
Well, I have to mention this guy because if he watches this and I don't mention him, he'll be Phil Clark. Not that he's the
okay,
best,
Phil. Yeah.
Not that he's the best dressed. He's honestly, he wears the same thing to the field every single day, and he thinks it's awesome.
What's he showing up in every day?
Sweats and like just like the most nonchalant outfit. But I would say, gosh, and it's sad because he's not in the org anymore, but Andrew Vasquez.
Okay.
He was the big Hawaiian t-shirt guy. He made a statement in spring training. He brought 7 Hawaiian shirts and he'd wear one for every single day of the week.
His Monday through Sunday.
Yep. Every day. I'm trying to think. You know what, man? I'm trying to be the best dressed this year.
I was going to say, you've got a good style, man. I love the – there's not a lot of dudes who could pull off the full brim hat. Your hat game on point, buddy. There she is. There's the beauty.
Oh, yeah. I have a custom one coming as well for me to bring.
Nice.
So, yeah. Yep. I'll start wearing the hats, you know, the Cam Newton look.
You've been to probably every minor league stadium out there. Do you have a favorite?
Lansing, Michigan.
Really?
Yeah, by far.
What was it that you enjoyed about Lansing so much?
It was a stadium. You know, some stadiums you play in, they're not stadiums. Right. And Lansing was, you had the big apartments out in the outfield, kind of just, and I mean, you had people watching the games from their balcony. It was really cool. And then the frats and the sororities from Michigan State, they showed up, and I mean, dude, at one point I had beer poured on my back from the fan, and I mean, they got kicked out, but like that to me, I was like, bro, this is awesome.
That's an experience for sure.
Yeah, this is awesome. I mean, we set a record there for a low A game with like 12,300 people or something.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the best.
Just the people are coming out, eh?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's all Michigan State people. They all come out for the game because I mean, we did Thirsty Thursdays. It's a dollar beer. So why not come out?
Okay. We are going to now do a little game here. So what we're going to do is we're going to name some things. Okay. And you are going to rank those things. One being you absolutely can't stand it. 10 being you are just a huge fan.
Okay.
I know it's a tough scoring system, but I think you've got it.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. So let's start with mashed potatoes and gravy.
That is an 8.
An 8. Okay. So we've got a fan here.
Yep.
Classic rock.
10.
Okay.
I'm a classic rock guy.
I like, you've got the look. What do you like to listen to? What are your favorite classic rock groups?
Well, I mean, you name them all from like the 90s and the 2000s. I'm actually a 2000s classic rock guy. I feel like people didn't really listen to it too much, but I mean, even like the, not metal, I wouldn't say metal, but like Eve 6.
Okay, yeah.
Nice one.
I was a huge Eve 6 fan.
Yeah, I love Eve 6. I don't know, man. I got them all in a playlist.
Eve 6? Eve 6, second album, underrated.
Underrated.
Right?
Underrated.
That first one got all the love, but the second one was a darn good album.
The first one is freaking awesome. Though. I still listen to it.
Yeah. Oh, me too, buddy. Me too, yeah. Oh, superhero girl. Frick. Anyways.
Okay, so if we're talking about rock in the 2000s, I know people are going to throw questions on the comment section. Where do you stand on Nickelback?
Love them.
Love them. Great love answer. Em.
Love
so
them.
Easy to hate on Nickelback, and no one wants to acknowledge that they're really a good band, man.
I
like
don't
so
know
many
why
hits.
People hate on.
It's because
be like
they got too big. It happens right? with everything, right? As soon as somebody rises up, they can't wait to
hate.
Knock them down.
All
yeah,
hate.
It's all
I
hate.
Swear, yeah.
People, love the answer.
I don't know where that came from because all I did was honestly listen to Nickelback on my little iPad or iPod Nano growing up.
Yeah.
And that was, if people were like, why are you listening to that? I'm like, dude, it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, no, they got some bangers, man.
Leader of Men, I remember listening to that to the point where my mom, like I was still in high school at the time, but my mom was like, you have to listen to that outside because I can't handle it anymore. Okay, next one. The City of Seattle.
4.
Love it. All right. Okay, Sopranos.
Get deeper with it for me. What, like, explain exactly a soprano? Like, is that like a...
Sorry, like the show. The show. The show, The Sopranos. Never watched it.
Never watched.
Okay.
Is that
bad? 0.
I wouldn't say that's bad. I mean, it's an older show. You're just showing how young and hip you are, Haggy.
Okay. Haggy, Scott, last week we asked Chris Beck his feelings on Friends. He'd never seen the show Friends, and then Scott has been roasted ever since
Chris.
For being the oldest person ever. Have you seen Friends?
Oh, Friends is on the TV 24/7.
This is what I told him. I'm like, dude, you spend so much time in hotel rooms. How the hell have you not seen a rerun of Friends?
Like up at like you're randomly up at like 1 a.m. and you're just like, your Friends isn't on, you know? What?
Yeah. Oh, that's
all right. That's on Chris. That one's on Chris.
All right.
Okay, I like to hear
you're
that.
Off
Thank
the hook,
you,
Scott.
Okay. IPA or hoppy beers in general?
I would say if you asked me this like a year or two ago, I would put them up there like a 8, 9.
Yeah.
But I'm on the light beer trend right now. So
yeah. What do you like to drink?
I'm like a Pilsner, just like a crispy or a blonde, a nice blonde. I like blonde. So
me too. We're up in Edmonton and Calgary, Alberta, which
oh,
is
nice.
The prairies here. And this is, you're going to fit right in the prairies. We love our Pilsners. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Are you a Flames fan or an Oilers fan?
I'm a Flames fan, and okay. Adam is a Montreal Canadiens fan.
Well, okay. I've been in Edmonton for a few years now. My daughter is 11. She plays hockey. Of course, all her friends are Oilers fans.
Yeah.
We go to Oilers games, I have to say.
Man, they're so good.
I'm an Oilers fan at this point. So, begrudgingly, I'm an Oilers fan.
I am not. Yeah. Okay. Roger Clemens.
10.
Love it.
Yeah. I don't care what they say he did. I mean, that guy did a lot for the game of pitching. You know, that guy is, and he would come in when his kid, Casey, played with us. He would be at the field, at the complex all the time, talking to people. He's a great human.
I know that he's a polarizing individual, but honestly, like what he did coming from the Red Sox to the Blue Jays in the 90s, like, cause I was just a kid, right? So the Jays won the World Series in 92 and 93. And I was 10 and 11 when that happened, which really skewed my view on sports, Haggy. Cause I, as an 11-year-old boy, I just thought you follow your favorite team and every couple of years they win the whole thing. Right. And here we are 30 years later.
Still waiting.
But when Roger came over in 97 and 98, like the Blue Jays were in a rough spot, man. And like he came in and even though they were still a bad team, he won the Cy Young in 97 and 98. They were a great team and he won the Cy Young. Like it was just so fun to watch as a kid. I don't know. Like everyone gets on the whole steroid thing, but it's both hitters and pitchers were juicing. Like
at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that he was doing this against juicing hitters.
Agreed.
Okay. All right.
Roger Clemens, great pitcher, better dad. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. Okay, last one, and then we're going to get to some listener questions here for you, Haggy, and we'll let you get out of here. Of course, we always appreciate your generosity.
No rush, man. All I got to do is play catch with my buddy Hans Kraus with the Phillies. He's coming over here in a second. But
Hans Kraus, that's a great Bond villain name. You tell him that.
Hans Kraus. All right, I will.
Okay, last one. Star Wars.
I give it an 8.
Okay.
I like it. I think it's awesome. And if I gave it anything less, all my friends would hate me for that. So I
a little bit of safety in this number. Yeah,
a little safety in there, but my brother's a big fan. I get brought in by Nick Prado with the Royals. He that guy is a Star Wars nerd.
Yeah.
So, could we go to Disneyland just to go see the Star Wars world? So
we were talking to Chris Beck. He said, I mean, he gave it a 10 and he told us he was going to call his first son Anakin. So I was like,
oh, he does. He does love Star Wars. That guy
loves Star Wars. Han Solo or Han Solo?
Han.
Okay.
I love it. Thank you.
Okay. Adam, take over here, bud. Let's get to some listener questions.
All right. First off the top, this one comes from me. So since the Jays traded away Randall Grichuk, I've had a hard time getting my wife to watch Blue Jays games. I think it's the lack of hot guy on the team. So anyway, suffice to say, my wife is rooting for you to break camp with the team. She says it'll be awesome. Nice to have a quote unquote hot guy on the team again.
Sweet.
So.
Hey, but we did get the hottest guy in baseball. So safe from the chicks.
Yes. Kiermaier.
Kiermaier, handsome Kiermaier, guy. Man. I don't think Kevin she's seen Hunk. Pictures of Kiermaier yet, so we'll see.
Adam's hiding trouble. Those from her.
Yeah, I'm not letting her see the pictures of Kiermaier yet. All right. Okay, next one comes in from Brennan Delaney. Says, how is your hair and mustache always on point?
You know, I use, it's funny, I wash my hair probably like 2 to 3 times a week. Conditioner. My girlfriend makes me get all the expensive stuff that she says for some reason are better. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And then oil. I do oil treatments. Okay. And then the mustache, I don't do shit for it. You know, it just gets there. And, I mean,
the mustache, I just grow. Yeah.
It collects food and drinks and, you know, and then I just wash it.
Do you ever do weird mustaches? You do like the Fu Manchu or like a curly handlebar thing?
I've done the curly before and it's just too much to maintain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right. I like not having to do anything. I'm just waking up and my mustache is how it is.
Love it. All right. Weird question for you here. This comes from Dulcimerist. Wants us to ask you if you have plans for when you pass. Like afterlife. Are you a burial guy? What? A cremation guy?
I haven't even thought about it yet.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
I haven't thought about it yet. I always don't like the thought of being stuck underground, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even thinking about that is so creepy.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like, whoever, like, if my family wants to remember me in this little jar, or if they want to throw me in the ocean, or whatever they want to do, I'm going to be dead, you know?
You're like, I'm dead, so whatever's fine.
Yeah, I'm not going to get out of you.
As long as you're immortalized with a bust in Cooperstown, who really cares what happens?
There you go.
All right. Dakota wants to know, just wondering if you bring your golf clubs with you when you travel, and if there's any away series in particular that you circle on the calendar specifically because of the golf course they have in town.
I mean, I do bring my golf clubs with me. Not on every road trip, I'd say. Definitely every place I go to, I'll bring my clubs, but the little road trips I go on. I mean, I'm always looking forward to Boston. I want to play TPC Boston. And then, I mean, man, like in Chicago, there's some sweet golf courses over there. I know every time if we come play, if I'm in the big leagues and we play the Angels, I'm going to be bringing my golf clubs with me out here. I mean, I can't get enough of these golf courses. So.
Love it.
Who's your favorite guys to golf with?
I would say my favorite is Hans Kraus with the Phillies. Yeah. But with the Blue Jays, we always have a group. It's me, Trevor Schwecke, Phil Clark, and I mean whoever else. We usually like Davis.
Whatever
Schneider.
Whoever you can round up on a four for a fourth, yeah.
Davis Schneider, the sneakiest of all sneaky guys, man.
Nice. Yeah, we had Davis on recently too, and
the GOAT.
What a great guy. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Rooting for him too. Yeah.
Yes, sure. Always.
All right. If Phil Clark is showing up to the field in sweatpants every day, does he at least put on something proper for the golf course? Does he at least respect the golf course?
He's got a golf attire. Okay. I think he takes golf more seriously than how he dresses for the field.
Okay, perfect. That's all I needed to know. Thank you, Phil. Okay, last one comes in from Cody. Says, hey, Hagen, big fan of yours. I've been watching the Compound podcast hosted by Ian Happ. Wants to know, when will there be a Haggy D podcast for me to follow? I gotta say, became a massive fan of yours the first time on the Walk Off here. You have so much charisma, my dude. Maybe you could collab with Scott and Adam on it. So,
well,
hey,
you're doing
you go.
That right now.
I'm here right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. If he's watching this, thank you for that. But you know what? I probably wouldn't ever make my own podcast. I say that now until I'm super bored after baseball. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
But at the same time, I think I enjoy being on podcasts. I like being asked questions more than having to ask people questions. So
yeah, fair enough. Well, that's all we've got.
Well, you're welcome
today,
You're welcome here anytime, my man. We always enjoy chatting baseball with you, buddy. It's always a blast. Yeah,
I should have time in spring training too. So if we can maybe even set up another one for spring training.
That would be awesome.
We'll hold
you
to
take you up on that. Yeah.
Sweet.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, my friend. Honestly, it was really good catching up, and we're so glad to see you healthy and ready to produce this year, buddy. We're rooting for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday. Thanks for listening.